Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I got to be really careful here because I don't want to say that this is an accusation. I don't want to. I just was thinking the other day about what is going on with the SEC teams down south and Clemson included, who's obviously an ACC team. A lot of their players are coming down with COVID-19, oddly enough. So are they trying to herd immunity their teams so these guys can get sick now as opposed to getting sick during the college football season, if in fact there is one? And I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't put it past any of those guys down there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Wow, that was Boomer Esiason at WFAN, and he doesn't want to accuse anybody, but what if? Let's welcome in Dan Wolkin. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Dan, of course, with USA Today, covering all the college sports and all the big stories. And Dan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
I'm doing well. Doing well. How are you guys?
What did you think of Boomer?
Well, I think that's a little bit out there. I mean, look, are there kids who have heard about this idea that you get the virus, you survive, you build antibodies? Yes, I think there are certainly kids who have heard that and who are thinking, you know, hey, maybe it's better to get infected now and so I'll be healthy during the season. But I don't think there's a high number of people who are intentionally trying to get this virus. And I certainly don't think it's being encouraged by these coaches or these schools. The risk factor in that is way, way, way too high.
Dan, great column yesterday in USA Today about the growing pessimism surrounding college football and the athletic directors and commissioners and people involved with the sport. Even some of the coaches now are acknowledging the fact that it's going to be a big ask to get everything on schedule this fall for college football. Sandy Barber from Penn State came out yesterday and she said it would be a last resort to play in the spring. Although I've spoken to a couple people myself who thought that might be a more viable, safe option for college football. Where does it stand and what do you expect?
Yeah, I would agree with Sandy that it's a last resort, but we're kind of at the last resort time of year because when the calendar crossed over into July, we're now in the month where these kids are supposed to start actual football practice. You know, in a couple of weeks, you're supposed to be doing essentially, you know, OTAs, the equivalent of an OTA for 2 weeks. And then we're getting into contact and preparing for games. And so it's here. Like this is now or never. And I think next week, when the Ivy League announces what they're going to do with fall sports, that is going to have a huge influence on the thinking for a lot of people in the business. And I'm not saying that everyone will necessarily just fall in line behind whatever the Ivy League does, but there's no doubt that those people have credibility among college presidents. And if the Ivy League says, listen, we're just going to punt on the fall and try to move everything to the spring, that will influence a lot of people's thinking.
You know, what's fascinating about that is obviously they do not they do not participate in the bowl subdivision football, and yet, you know, I agree with what you're saying. They will carry a lot of weight, but the more you read and hear about it, a lot of these schools need the money for their programs. They need a certain number of people there. They rely on this to fuel everything. And with the tournament gone, I mean, there is almost a panic among some of these big programs, right?
Well, there's no doubt that financial expectations for the coming year are low. They are modeling all kinds of different scenarios within these athletic departments. What does it do if you only get 20% of the fans in attendance? What does it do if you're limited to 40%? You know, all those things are in play. I've heard that some conferences and universities are looking into lining up lines of credit, you know, with banks to try to float them some money to get through this year, which would obviously be borrowed and repaid. But, you know, long term, I think the outlook for college sports is good, but there's no doubt that the challenges for this year are many, and just surviving, you know, whatever is coming over the next few months is going to be really, really difficult.
Dan, yesterday a remarkable thing happened at the University of Illinois. Milo Eifler, a linebacker, went on Twitter, and he talked about schools, quote, showing a blatant disregard for student-athletes and the health and safety. And then his media session was delayed a couple hours while he talked to Lovie Smith and Josh Whitman, and then he came out and he spent an hour talking to reporters about his concerns. And I just wonder, in an age where you're hearing from student-athletes and football players in college football more than ever, and their power is being felt and it resonates, do you think, how much weight will that carry? Will those concerns of the players carry when making these decisions, if we hear more guys like that coming forward?
Well, yeah. Look, I think one of the big issues in restarting college sports is that the input of the student athletes is kind of in the background. You know, with the NBA and the NFL and Major League Baseball and all these sports that are trying to restart, the players help set the rules and how this is going to go. The players are there at the table negotiating what it's going to mean and what's in it for them. And for the college students, there's not really any incentive to play beyond the typical ones, which is the opportunity to showcase your skills and learn and be part of a team and all that stuff. But the experience of being a college athlete is not going to be normal this year. This is not what anybody signed up for. And yet these guys are basically being told, show up on campus at this date, at this time, and practice the way we tell you to practice, and trust us that we're going to do everything we can do to keep you safe. But they've not had any input in that from the athlete side. So, you know, more people speaking up like that young man at Illinois, I think is good, because I think for far too long, the concerns of the people who are putting their bodies and their health on the line have been ignored.
You know, we talked to Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, yesterday about his struggles with this. Now, Tommy, 38 years old, and a guy that is in great physical condition, a former professional player, but he's still feeling the effects more than a month later. And this idea that somehow you can just get through this and younger people aren't going to die, if you actually study the numbers, you know, let's say there's three deaths among younger players. How can you justify any deaths? How can you, you know, how can people go about pretending that this isn't happening around them and trying to continue to play football? We saw the most number of cases ever in this country yesterday, and it's all kind of through the South. I don't understand how. And I know schools are trying to get people to wear masks and they're trying to spread the word on this, but until that actually happens, I don't think I understand how this is going to happen.
Well, the biggest concern I have in sports generally is just that there's so much unknown with this virus. It's new. It's unstudied, you know, relative to other diseases and viruses that we live with. We don't really understand, you know, why it affects certain people the way it does. What the long-term effects are, why some people seem to be completely asymptomatic and other people really, really struggle for weeks and weeks, who are seemingly healthy. We don't really understand, you know, what will be the effects of this virus on people who have it, in 10 years. You just don't really know. So, yeah, that's a little scary. It's a little daunting. And it's why when you restart sports, you can't just do it cavalierly with this idea that, well, it's young, healthy people. They're going to recover and be fine. That's not an acceptable answer. We need to be taking precautions. I think there's something to be said for, yes, we have to learn how to live with this virus. We can't just shut down forever. But we need to take all the precautions and take our time and not rush. And that's where I think a lot of the schools and, even the pro leagues are putting themselves at risk, is just the rush to try to do something that we don't fully understand.
Dan, I've long maintained that there are two college footballs. There's the Power Five, and then there's everybody else. And I don't think that's necessarily a huge revelation, but I think that when you look at what to expect moving forward and the different types of goals in mind and the motivations to play this season, they're different. They're very different, and they're going to be affected, these programs, in different ways. Is there any kind of solution that would have different paths for these different types of programs? Because you can't tell me the Mid-American Conference, for instance, has the same problems and issues and concerns or realities that maybe the SEC schools do. And I think they're two very different things.
Well, there's definitely been, throughout the modern history, the recent history of college sports, a widening of the gap between the rich schools and the poor schools. And you're seeing it play out with the pandemic, in the sense that just as one example, testing. The NCAA is not dictating anything on testing. They're leaving it up to the conferences and potentially the schools to determine what's appropriate, and the testing's expensive. And there's certain schools who can afford to test players, two, three times a week, and there's other schools who that's a real challenge for them to come up with that money, and yet they're all going to play each other. And so what happens when you've got a school that has tested all their players, three times a week, and they know that they don't have any current infections, and yet they got to go on the field against a team that is only testing people once they show symptoms, and we don't really know if people have it when they step on the field. So, all these sort of fault lines are being exacerbated by the pandemic, and not just in sports, but in society. And this is one area where people are really concerned about, not just what's going to happen on the field this year and who's going to get sick, but what does it mean for the future of college sports? Is this going to force some type of separation and all those things? I mean, they're all legitimate issues.
Dan, we'll let you go and appreciate your time. Just on the way out, is it your belief that there will be a college football season, or are you worried about this latest spike, and do you want to take a little more time before making a prediction on that one?
Well, I don't love making these types of predictions anyway, just because the facts that are underlying all these issues are so dynamic. And, right now, just in talking to people in the industry, there's a lot of concern. There's a lot of belief that maybe this will get pushed to spring, that once the Ivy League moves, it'll force a chain reaction of movement that sort of pushes things back, if not to the spring, maybe to October, something like that. But yeah, I think it's going to be a tough season. It's going to be a shortened season. It's going to be a season with starts and stops and unpredictable things that happen, and teams that are not going to be able to continue to play because they're just overwhelmed by infections. And yeah, it's not ideal. There is no good choice to be made here. The key for college sports in this is just avoiding a bad choice.
Dan, thanks a ton. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Good stuff.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you.
That's Dan Wolkin from USA Today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.